Well, a couple things to keep in mind. Well, just one thing to keep in mind. This is the second Sunday of the month. We like to make sure we're up to speed on giving. And this church, just incredibly generous, has been for such a long time, and we do so well. Let's not stop. In fact, this may be the last time you see this. We're retooling that 25 goal a little bit because of all the craziness of 2020. However, with regular attenders, we actually are up to about 34 per person instead of 25 per person, just so you know. And that's an incredible example of generosity and faith. It's not the purpose, the goal is not the accumulation of wealth. The purpose is the necessary resources we need to serve and to minister, and the expression of faith that comes with that sacrifice. Everything we give needs to be, I'm a pretty hard line, I draw a pretty hard line on this with people if I talk to them personally. It has to be with a joyful heart. If you don't enjoy it, do not do it, okay? If you don't enjoy it, certainly when it comes to giving, do not do it if you don't enjoy it, okay? That I can't handle. That's hurtful and harmful to you and to me and to the rest of the body. Anything that we're going to give, time, treasure, or talent. I'm not saying it's not going to be hard, and I'm not saying it's not going to be a sacrifice many times and a struggle and, I mean, all kinds of things. But there is still joy in that, and that needs to be the way it is anytime you're offering your time, treasure, or talent. So just keep that in mind. So we have something big happened this past week. On Thursday evening, the year of our Lord 2020, at about 5:30 p.m., I caught a fish. Yes, I did. Thank you. And I was led through that process by Gary Downey and Rob Shields. They were guiding me and teaching me. It's one thing to go out and catch a fish. It's one thing to be a fisherman. It's another thing to be able to teach somebody and lead somebody through that process. Essentially, that is what, in that moment, that's what Gary and Rob were doing. They were reproducing themselves in me and with the expectation of results. And there were results. Had the joy of catching a fish. We're not there long. We're only out there for about 2.5 hours. It felt like 15 minutes. I mean, it was really long. It was really a fun time. And I have the opportunity to go fishing again in about another week and a half with Ryan Sloan and share some of the things that I learned, where to go, what to do, how to do it. I've forgotten some of that stuff. But that's really, that's the point. And that's really what we strive to get to, not necessarily when it comes to fishing for actual fish. But our goal in life, our goal as a Christian man or woman ought to be to get to the place where we reproduce what we are, who we are, to be able to bring on someone else, to teach someone else, and reproduce our faith. Now, ultimately, we're going to get to that chair. That's our last chair. That's chair 4. Okay? In the meantime, we are being trained. We are being refined. We are being molded into what it takes to reproduce our faith. And that's what brings us to chair number 3, the worker in Jesus Christ. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. We thank you, Father, that you love us. We thank you that you care about our work, our influence in your kingdom. Father, we ask that you be a part of this service today, that you challenge us with the words that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Working leads to being able to reproduce. And again, this message comes from an adaptation from Dan Spader's book, 4-Chair Discipling. I encourage you to read that. You can get one. You can find one. I'll give you this one, but I can't give you this one yet because I already gave one away. I already gave one away, and I needed one. So, but you can find those online. We talk about chair three today, the worker. Now, we've already covered chair one, the lost. This is the come and see. Come and see. Sadly, this is the majority of people that you will come in contact with, or the majority of people in life that have been created, those who are lost. Now, that's a sad thing to think about, that the majority of people that are created throughout time and throughout history have not acknowledged or given their lives over to their Creator. They don't care about the character of Christ, what He stands for. Or at least not submission to the character of Christ. It's interesting, they do care about, many people care about the character of Christ without acknowledging who Jesus is and what Jesus is. And it's a sad state of affairs when that's the majority of people that have ever lived. And so what do we say when we encounter people who are lost? Well, the same thing you would say to anyone else who's lost. Hey, come and see. Come and see. Why don't you come and see where Jesus is? Why don't you come and see where Jesus lives? Why don't you come and see where He resides? And where does Jesus reside? Inside the life of the believer in Christ. So what does come and see mean? I mean, come and see the church body. Come and see my home. Come and see our time. Just you and me spending time together. That's come and see. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about the church. We're going to talk about the Bible. No, we're just going to go and see. Well, you and I hang out. We'll spend some time. I'm just showing you the house. Come and see where Jesus lives. Over time, then, that develops into the challenge, follow me. And this is what Jesus did with His disciples. Follow me. They went to see Jesus to find out who this guy was. And eventually, after getting to know Him, Jesus challenges them with, follow me. And they said, okay. This is the get-to-know-you stage. I acknowledge that You are God. I acknowledge that You are the Christ. I don't know everything about You. I don't know everything about the church. I don't know everything about the Bible. I don't know everything about Jesus. But I know He is who He says He is, and I want to get to know more. That's follow me. Coming up with realizing, knowing this new identity in Jesus Christ. And today we look at chair three, the worker. Remember our purpose for this series. Number one, what am I? Am I lost? By the way, if you're lost, you're in a great place right now. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Welcome. Am I a believer? Have I come to acknowledge the truth of Christ? I don't know what I want to do with this. I don't know where I'm going to go with this, but I do know that Jesus is real and that He died for my sins. Or have we moved into applying, living out our profession in Jesus Christ? That's what it means to be a worker. So what am I, and how do I minister to others? Well, today we're talking about the worker chair, the servant. Call it servant if you want, the servant chair. And if I'm going to minister to a servant, if I'm going to minister to a worker in the kingdom of God, that means I have probably developed into this disciple maker. And that is a challenge for all of us. It's a special, special place to be. And so, as we look at the worker, as we look at the servant, I am specifically addressing many of you here today. This church is full of people who want to, strive to, and do work in the kingdom of God in some way. Serve in the kingdom of God. To be harvesters in the field. And if you go on mission trips around the world, you're not just a harvester. What are you? Anybody know? You're an international harvester. That's right. I was really proud of that for like 3 days until I dropped it on the first service and they were going to kick me out of here. Harvester in the field, harvester in the vineyard. You don't save anybody as a worker. You help, you assist. Jesus Christ saves. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that convicts, but you go out, you harvest, you collect, you bring in. That's what a harvester is. We are workers in the vineyard. Whenever we believe in Jesus Christ and come to that place acknowledging the truth of Christ, at some point we need to address the question, are we growing? Are we growing? Have we gone from where we were progressing to where we ought to be? Am I further ahead today than I am tomorrow in my service, in my understanding of the Word, in my relationship with Christ, in my relationship with others? Am I growing? The only way we really know that is if we look back, but am I growing? Do we know what it means to grow? You want to know what it means to grow? You want to know what it means to be a worker in the vineyard, a harvester? It means to go from walking with Christ, which is great. That's wonderful. To working with Christ. Go from walking with Christ to working with Christ. What a challenge that is. That Jesus says, I want you not just saved for all eternity. That's this whole group of people. That's the church around the world. Saved for all eternity. Loved by Jesus, known by name, would die for every one of them, did die for every one of them, and would die for them 1,000 times again. That's the church saved. And then from the church, we're going to see this today with the disciples, from the church, Jesus gathers a few and he says, but you, I want you to turn it up a notch. I want you to be workers. I want you to be on the team. I want you to actually go into the world and begin to harvest. Oh, what a courageous thing that is. What a hard thing to do. We like to call of ourselves, think of ourselves as strong and courageous and dedicated. Boy, it's a courageous thing to say, here am I, send me. That takes some guts. First challenge Jesus had for his disciples was come and see. Then it was follow me. Again, that's the get to know you stage and understand your own identity. The next challenge from Christ was follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you harvesters. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. And again, like the rest of our series, we're going to launch from Matthew chapter 9, but we're going to jump through a bunch of different verses, but they'll be on your screen so you don't have to flip back and forth through all of them. Let's put it this way. If a new believer in Jesus Christ, again, this isn't literal, but if a new believer in Jesus Christ, someone who's just come to acknowledge who Jesus is, given their life to Jesus, If they're a child, if they're a spiritual child growing in their maturity in Jesus Christ, and if a disciple maker is maybe growing others, they're parenting, if you were, they're mature adults, then what would this middle chair be, this third chair be? Maybe a teenager, maybe a young adult in their early 20s. Again, that's not literally. But it's this idea that the worker is excited to act, excited to serve and to learn and to grow. That's what the worker is. Here's the worker. They begin putting others before themselves. They begin to change their attitude, their outlook, and their way on life. You know how it is, because children are always about me, right? Me, 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 mine, mine. Eventually, we end up growing into thinking about others, putting others first. You want to know what a great description is of a worker? They are obedient, even if it's not convenient. They are obedient, even when it's not convenient. I'll tell you what, a servant in the church of Jesus Christ, a harvester, a worker in the field, is obedient even especially when it's not obedient. I don't think it's a complete definition of maturity, but I think it's a great part of it and a great look at maturity. And that is doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it because it's the right thing to do, right? That is growing in maturity, being obedient even if it's not convenient. Servants, harvesters, workers in the church, they work inside the body and they work outside the body. You want to know a great touchstone for a worker? We talked about come and see to the lost. If you're a servant in the church, if you're a worker in the church, if you're putting, if you're applying your profession in Jesus Christ, come and see ought to be on the tip of your tongue. Come and see ought to be what you do. It ought to be in front of your brain. Come and see. We have a lot of people who want to work. That's where the come and see comes from the workers. And this church is full of them, and yet we can continue to grow and extend our knowledge and our understanding of what a harvester is. I've probably shared with you, when I first started preaching here, I was talking to Dad. I said, well, give me some help here. Give me some tips. Give me some, things that you know, things that I don't know, things that, I got to remember. And we went through a whole long list of stuff. And finally asked about volunteers in the church. I said, what about volunteers? He said, this church is full of fantastic workers, fantastic volunteers in the body of Christ. I said, fantastic, excellent. And he looks at me and he says, your job is to not screw that up. Thanks, Dad. It's good advice. Appreciate it. Let me write that down. Don't screw this up. That's what it is. And come and see comes from the worker. Come and see comes from the harvester. I was golfing one time with my father-in-law, and we were over at Liberty. We were on the back nine. I think we were on hole 12, the tee box. And he yells over. There's a guy that's a single, and he yells over. There's three of us. There's one of him. He yells over and says, hey, you want to come and golf with us? And the guy says, yeah, sure, I'll golf with you. And I'm not paying attention. I don't even know what the guy's name, because I'm barely hanging on, to this round. I'm golfing with Mike and Jim, and, they have a couple religions, and that's one of them. And so I'm trying to keep up. And I think, I don't know if he asked on my backswing, but I think I'm just about ready to tee off. And Mike turns to this guy that we've never met before, and he says, where'd you go to church? And I just, whoa, I lost it. I'm just out of nowhere. Where do you go to church? Where do you worship? I'm almost thinking, Mike, what are you doing? We've known this guy for all of 30 seconds. What are you doing? You know what he's doing? He's doing what I should have been doing. Right? That easy. He ain't a preacher. He's a golfer. Where do you go to church? That was this come and see. Come and see. And that should be on the tip of the tongue of the worker. That's what they do. Workers are willing to be sent. They're willing to be challenged. They even like the challenge. They look for it. They look for a role to play. And by the way, that's not just being busy in the church proper, but serving in that way is a part of it, and probably a great place to start. Jesus wants workers to bring in the harvest. And that's really the point. Look at verse chapter 9, verse 36. Well, let's back up to 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Now we get into verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. And Jesus there is talking to his disciples. That's what he's getting at. I want you to be workers in the vineyard now. You've done the come and see, disciples. You've done follow me. You're already there. And now I'm going to take you 12 and I'm going to turn this up a notch. And I want you to be workers in the vineyard. He has just now gotten his team together. Yes, there's a lot of people hearing about Jesus. There's hundreds listening to Jesus. There's thousands talking about Jesus. But in this moment, after the call of Matthew, now he's got his team. And he lays out the challenge. I don't want you guys to just walk with me. I want you to work with me. And this was this major jumping off point of their discipleship and their Christian walk and actually becoming the disciples of Jesus Christ. This is the first time we see them really introduced in their entirety in Matthew chapter 10. In the 10th chapter of Matthew. I mean, that's a long ways from the beginning. And here in chapter 10, we continue on. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names. These are the names of Jesus' workers. These are the names of Jesus' team after 10 chapters into Matthew. Because it took time to lead them to this place. It took time to lead them to this point of giving their lives completely over to Jesus and now taking on the role of harvester. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And you are familiar with these names and the work that they did throughout the kingdom. A worker may not yet be fully trained, but they are moving in that direction. They may not be a disciple maker yet. They may not be the one teaching to fish yet. But they are in the boat learning how, and they see results from it. These are the disciples. They're in the boat as fishers of men. They're in the field as harvesters, learning as they go, desiring, being open to the guidance and direction and challenge of Jesus Christ. Look at 5. 5 said this. These 12 disciples Jesus sent out with the following instructions. You see, the worker takes instruction from those who have gone before, from those who know the purpose, the point, the mission. You know, Jesus is preparing them. These disciples, when you get into Acts, these disciples are going to be sending out people with instruction. That's not what they're doing right now. These disciples are being sent with instruction from Jesus. This is the servant. This is the worker in the vineyard. This is the one who has gone beyond believing in Jesus to working with Jesus. And by the way, believing in Jesus is a good chair. All right? I feel like I have to say this throughout this entire message. The belief in Jesus, chair number 2, is a good chair. All right? Don't throw that out. Don't think, well, all I do is believe in Jesus. I guess No, it's not that. All right? But that's not where you end. That's not where the Christian walk stops. The Christian journey, this growth in Jesus Christ and this addition to the kingdom of God, we move beyond that to be workers in the kingdom, and this will change your life. And you don't have to be perfect to do it. You know, I often think of a Sunday school class. I often think of someone teaching maybe children in Sunday school. You know, I know Scripture. I know enough about Scripture. I know some of these biblical principles, and I know some of these stories that I can teach, yet I've never done it before, and I want to serve. I want to work. I want to be a worker in the vineyard. You know, maybe this is the place to do it. Why? Because you have other teachers and elders in the church looking on as you're doing it. You have their parents there looking on as you're instructing. What a great place to start this ministry as you're guided and directed. And that's what these disciples, they're guided and directed by Jesus Christ as they go out into the field. That's the worker. I want to work. I want to be. I want to go. I want to do. I want to extend. Come and see. We got to be careful, though, of two things. Number one is this. If you want to be a servant, if you want to be a worker in the church, if you want to go out in the field and you want to bring in the harvest, if you want to say come and see, if you want to spend time with, if you want to serve, if you want to help, if you want to be the hands and feet of Christ, know this, it won't be perfect. All right? It won't be perfect. At some point, somebody's going to mess something up, and that somebody's probably going to be you. All right? Happens all the time. And you have to embrace that. You have to just accept that I'm not going to be perfect when I'm working in the harvest, when I'm working in the vineyard. But that doesn't mean that I'm doing something wrong. It means I may start a ministry that fails, that doesn't work. It may mean that I don't understand everything there is to know about church polity, structure, and history, or whatever that might be. It might be that I spend time with someone, and I spend a day with them, and then a week with them, and then a year with them, and 5 years, and 20 years with them, and they still can't get to this place where they fully accept Jesus Christ. That's not because that is wasted time. That's because it takes time in the vineyard. It takes time to work. Guys, everything's not going to go perfect. You're going to have something that you disagree with with somebody else. You're going to upset somebody as you go through your ministry. I upset somebody every day, all right? That's just the way life is when you're going to be a worker in the vineyard. You have to accept that. Because if you accept that, then when it happens, you can think back to this message right here and think, well, I didn't hear anything that day, except I did hear the preacher say that this is going to be hard and some things aren't going to work out. So I'm not going to stop with this ministry. I'm not going to stop with this work. That's the first thing you need to remember. Second thing you need to remember is this. This chair can cause us to hit a wall. The worker chair can cause us to hit a wall. The busyness inside the church proper on a Sunday morning, right? It can cause us to assume that the work is done, that our journey is done. We can assume that we've reached the goal. Well, you know, what do you do? Well, I lead worship on Sunday morning. That's it. I'm done. That's all I need to do. I'm out of here. I'm going to cruise on easy street from here on out the rest of my life, and that's going to be my role. No, no, that's a place and a part in which you can serve, but you've still got a longer journey to go, because the goal is to be able to be in the boat teaching someone else how to catch the fish, teaching someone else how to have faith in Jesus Christ. That's where we're going. So don't get lazy with this chair. It's a comfortable chair. Gone are the days of come and see and just follow me. Now Jesus is saying, I want you on my ministry team and I will teach you. Ultimately, I want you to lead your own team. I want you to call your disciples. And again, this was Jesus' official call to his disciples. Okay, working is training. So what do workers need? A few things workers need. Number one is this. Workers need to see God through them. They need to see God working through their work in the field. And the only way you're going to see the result of God working through you in the field is allowing yourself or opening yourself up to the opportunity. If I never want to work, if I never want to try, if I never want to risk, if I never want to, you know, be involved in any of these new ventures, then God's never going to present himself working through me to build his kingdom. I love this voice of Isaiah as God is calling, who's going to go? Who's going to work? Just the strength of Isaiah. And Isaiah 6, 5 says, woe to me, this is Isaiah talking, woe to me, as he saw the angel of God. Woe to me, I cried, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken with tongs from the altar. Listen to verse 7 now. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. Sounds an awful lot like accepting Christ, doesn't it? Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. Now what do I do with this? After I believe in Jesus, I'm not perfect. I'm not, this isn't the end of my life. I don't have it everything right yet. But I believe in Jesus. My sins are atoned for. Then God calls out. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. Send me. It's interesting. If you read through that, you should read through that account. Isaiah has no idea at this point what he's volunteering for. I need a volunteer. I'll do it. That's Isaiah. Here am I, send me. That takes courage. That takes conviction. That takes crucifixion. Look at the second thing. Workers need to experience walking in the Spirit. The workers need to see God working through them. They need to experience walking in the Spirit. And the question I ask is this, if the joy is gone, what went wrong? You know, it is meant to be a joyful thing in the service of the King. It's meant to bring joy to your own life, your mind, your heart, to be in service to the King. Yes, it brings joy to others. And peace to others when they accept Jesus. But it's meant to be a joy for you. So if it's not, what went wrong? This is what I call the crucified life. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this, we get that a lot from Paul. You know, Paul, I don't know how he went as long as he did in his ministry. You know, he went some 50, 60 years in his ministry, starting in his 30s, mid-30s. And through all the frustration and trial and all the bad things that happen to Paul, he continues. He still goes. He still has joy. He still has peace about his mission. And he's the one that we get most often saying, I am crucified with Christ. It's the crucified life that allows you to have joy in your ministry and joy in your work. You see, without the crucified life, without this walking in the Spirit or the freedom given by the Spirit, we are setting ourselves up. If we want to be a worker and we are not walking in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we simply are subjecting ourselves to frustration. I hate it. You hate it. This is a drag. This is boring. This is a bummer. I don't see any results. This, that, I'm out. I'm done. Why? Because it is all about us instead of dying to self and being enjoying the service of the King. Frustrating ourselves, we're subjecting ourselves to legalism, call it burnout, an unproductive lifestyle. Have you ever noticed there's so often excitement when people accept Jesus? We had someone baptized earlier today into the body of Christ during first service. Haley Weiser is her name, if you get a chance to talk to her. And there's a great deal of excitement. In fact, when we talked about it, it was very emotional leading up to today. You ever notice sometimes that same person a week later, a year later, 5, 20 years later, it's almost as if that joy and that excitement's gone. And people say it's because after time, life gets in the way. And I don't think that's true. I think that after we accept Christ and we spend this time, we spend these days, I don't think it's that life gets in the way. I think it's because the old life gets in the way. Instead of embracing what you actually are, a new creation in Christ. And yet, at the same time, I've seen preachers and I've watched them in their lives and how they live, the incredible courage that comes out of what they say and where they go and what they do. I know a couple of guys like this. It is infectious. You spend time around them, you think you can do anything in the world because they're excited about what they do. And I don't care if this succeeds or fails. I know Jesus is heading in that direction, so am I. It's an incredible thing. Looked up to. I haven't talked to a buddy of mine, said, who's preaching to you? He gave me the name, and I looked him up, and I said, it's no wonder he's preaching to you. I can get on board with this. Stop here. I'll just bring him in and preach for you guys. It's fantastic. It's infectious, this joy in service. So we need to experience walking in the Spirit. What else do workers need? Workers need to learn new skills. You know, at first, I believe in Jesus. Now it's time to apply that belief. We looked at some of these skills last week a little bit. We looked at walking, right? Walking in the Spirit, walking with Christ. We looked about talking, right? Telling our story about Jesus. We looked at feeding. We need to learn how to feed ourselves. Read Scripture, understand Scripture, know Scripture. You can read the same words I read. You can ask the same questions I ask to the same people that I talk to. And we need to build that in our own lives. And we also need to learn these skills of what it takes to be a harvester. You know, during this series, I did want to go on the take a time to go fishing. And it wasn't originally Rob or Gary that approached me when I wanted to learn this skill, and I got a long way to go, but when I wanted to learn this skill, I approached them. If you're going to be a worker, you got to learn new skills. You got to say, I want to do this. And I want to line up people who do this for me, who help me, who teach me, who guide me, if we're going to be a worker in the vineyard. We're going to apply those things to our lives. We want to practice them and study them. We want to grow in who we are and what we are as this new identity in Jesus Christ. I don't know if I ever told you about the first time I called Cincinnati. It was where I went to school, seminary. And I called him and I said, I was working. I was working out at the airport. I was driving. I've probably told this story before. I was mowing and I got like halfway across the field and I was thinking about my life. If you don't want to think, don't mow, okay? The two things go hand in hand. Anyway, I'm thinking about life and all this stuff and something that I wanted to do when I was very young. And so I stopped like halfway through the field. And I got off. I walked inside. I told the guy I was working for. I said, I want to stop doing this and I want to go be a preacher. That's what I said. And to his credit, I love him very much. To his credit, he said, okay. He said, I'm going to do everything I can to make that possible. But, you know, go finish mowing. You know, you still got to finish. But when I was done, I came back in, and I picked up the phone, and I called Cincinnati. I called the receptionist. I even talked to this receptionist later on. I called a receptionist, young girl, young kid. These were the words that came out of my mouth. I want to be a preacher. My name's John Watkins. I want to be a preacher, and I don't know how. That's what I said. Those were the first words out of my mouth. And she said, well, I don't know how either. She said, but I know somebody who does. So let me connect you. And I connected to the next guy. I want to be a preacher. I don't know how. He says, well, I'm not sure either. He says, but I know a few things, and then I'm going to connect you to another guy. And then I'm going to connect you to her, and I'm going to connect you to him. And eventually, you're going to take these. You're going to practice this. You're going to learn this. You're going to know this. You're going to be placed in these places. And these were these skills that I was learning, all to preach the Word of God because I loved it. That's what I wanted. Guys, sometimes that's what you got to do. If you want to be a worker in the field, sometimes you just got to call up other workers, or you got to call up disciple makers and say, hey, look, I want to be a worker. I want to start this ministry. I want to try this. I want to go with you here. I want to talk this. I want to learn this, preach this, and I have no idea how. And sometimes the person you talk to says, I don't know either, but I know a few things, and I can connect you to some other people, or they can lead you through the process. If you're going to be a worker, take it seriously. You got to learn some new skills. What else do workers need to do? They need to learn endurance. Endurance. Train as though you are one who's running to get the prize. You know, Galatians chapter 6 says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. There's that word harvest again, reap a harvest if we don't give up. So how do we do this? How do we not become weary in doing good? Here's how you gain endurance. Same way you gain endurance with just about everything. You look at the end. You look at the end. You look at the goal. You look at where you're going, what you're striving for. You look at the glory instead of the gore that you're going through right now. You look at the end for your endurance. We talked about this a little bit last week, Philippians chapter 3. Again, this is Paul. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. What's he talking about? That glory. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And then that very first part of verse 15, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. He's got his eyes on the prize. He's got his eyes on the end. Dan Spader uses the example of the Mount of Transfiguration in Luke chapter 9. And if you look at Jesus' ministry, his whole demeanor changes after this. If you watch it through Luke, his whole demeanor changes after the Mount of Transfiguration. Luke chapter 9, 28 through 31 says this, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as flashing lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. And because I don't know if it was because Jesus was just with a sense of humor, was messing with us, he told nobody to write this down, whatever they were talking about. I don't know if this is going to be my first question, but it'll probably be my second question. What were you guys talking? What was the conversation like? But we do know what specifically they were talking about. Verse 31, they spoke about his departure. You see, they were talking about his death, his glory, his resurrection. They were talking about this price he's going to pay. He's still got ministry to go, but Moses and Elijah and Jesus are talking about what is to come. Why? Because Jesus, as human as he is, needs this endurance to move forward to his mission, his goal, his purpose. He's focusing on what is to come. And so he speaks with Moses and Elijah. And Peter puts in his two cents there, if you also read that. He's always talking. But you know it changes because only 20 verses later, and this isn't going to be on your screen, but 20 verses later we read this in Luke, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He's changing. He's gone through his ministry. And he's got more ministry to go, but now he's focused on the end. Only 20 verses after that Mount of Transfiguration, he's got his eye on glory. Hebrews 12, 1 through 4, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes where? On Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what they were talking about. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And I love how the writer kicks in verse 4 here. This is a really powerful verse. He says, by the way, in your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Yeah. Let's keep things in perspective, is what he says. Jesus died on the cross, and a lot of people have resisted to the point of shedding blood, but the recipients of this letter, Paul or whoever the author was, said, you guys haven't. There's a lot of workers out there that do. So some things to remember. We'll close with this. Number one is this. Chair 3 is not easy, but it is our joy. It's meant to be our joy. Being a worker in the vineyard takes courage, takes patience, obedience, risk, takes trust, grace, love. It also takes intentionality. Guys, the Christian walk, and you need to know this, write this down, put this on your refrigerator. The Christian walk is more than just survival. It is more than just existence. And if we resign ourselves to stay in this chair two of the believer and never desire, never even try to add to the kingdom of God, that's what we're saying our belief in Jesus is, just survival, just existence. Life's more than that. The Christian walk is more than that. It's meant to be. And it's meant to be our joy in the process. Our purpose, we talk about purpose, mission, and value a lot. Our purpose is to bring joy and glory to our Creator. Our value is the life of Jesus. But our mission is the one of action and results in your life and in mine. Number two, believers, many believers, this is the sad thing here. Many believers never make it beyond chair three. Many believers never make it beyond chair three. Chair three is the worker. We got more to go. All right? We've got the disciple maker. We've got the one who's teaching to fish. We've got the one who's sending others out with instruction. We still have this area in life where we can and should, as Paul so boldly says, follow me as I follow Christ. That's powerful words. What kind of a guy? You know, and we don't want to do that. We want to stay safely in chair three because we think, we buy a lie. You get lied to, and you believe it sometimes. I believe it sometimes. We're in chair three, and we don't dare say, follow me as I follow Christ, because if we were to jump up and say, follow me as I follow Christ, I'm going to pour myself and my faith and what I know into you to build you so that you will grow, so that you will walk. Follow me as I follow Christ. We get this lie that says, how dare you say such a thing, right? Anybody? Anybody got that little thing in the back of their head, right? It's a lie from Satan that we listen to. How dare you say, follow me as I follow Christ? How dare you think that you can guide someone else? How dare you think that you can teach someone else what it means to have faith and believe and walk with Jesus Christ? How dare you do that? What's the matter with you? You're worthless. Come on. What's this arrogance and this pride that's coming out? I thought you were supposed to be humble. See, that's what Satan says, right? And we believe it. We believe it. And this is a lie from the evil one. The truth of Jesus Christ says, as you go throughout life, as you're walking, as you're journeying, you make disciples. That's the truth. You reproduce who you are, what you are. Your complete faith in Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how many times we're reading something or teaching something, and I think to myself, well, I wish the person I'm talking to could just climb into my brain and see it the way I see it here. You know, and that's what this is. Reproduce your faith. How do you trust Jesus? How do you love Jesus? How do you know Jesus that much? Boy, I wish he could just climb into my heart and just see what I see. Reproduce yourself and your kids, your friends, your family, your church members. Follow me as I follow Christ. And yell it. Don't be bashful about it. I will say it sometimes, right? It's follow me as I follow Christ. I'm in, right? We're gonna follow that guy. We're gonna take the hill with that guy. Follow me as I follow Christ. As you believe in Jesus the way I believe in Jesus. Number three is this: it takes time to mature into adulthood or parenthood. That's this reproducing. We've said that sanctification is a process, which it is. And we'll say things like this: I don't understand, I don't see, I don't feel that way, I don't want to, I don't know how, I don't have all the answers, I don't have the perspective. All of these things we learn through this working experience. We learn through study and practice. We learn through application, as well as learning in the lessons that Jesus taught. This is how we grow in spiritual maturity, by becoming the servant, by becoming the worker in the vineyard. And it comes with it discipline. It comes with it hardship. But that's a father raising up, growing up, disciplining his son and his daughter to be strengthened, to be wise. That's what you do with your own kids. And that's what God does to us if we are workers. And finally this: relax and enjoy the journey. And I struggle with this too much, to the point where I get self-conscious about it. Relax and enjoy the journey. Sometimes we worry. We say, I don't want to be a worker because I'm going to mess it up. We say, I don't want to be a servant because I'm going to screw it up. I'm going to let it down. I'm going to be wrong. I'm going to misfire. I'm going to lead somebody down the wrong path accidentally. I mean, all this stuff, right? So I'm just going to sit this one out. I'm going to sit on the comfy, cushy chair of believer and let somebody else who's better than I am take care of the working part. You got to relax a little bit, okay? You got to enjoy this journey of working for the King. I want to read these words to you, and I want these words to sink in, okay? Especially if you're apprehensive about taking that step of calling somebody up and saying, hey, I want to do this, and I don't know how. All right, listen to these words. These words come from Ephesians. And I lost my marker. Chapter 2, 1 through 10 says this: As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom in the air, that spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. That's Satan. All of us also, look, at one time or another, lived among them, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ. This is past tense, isn't it? God raised us up with Christ and seated us, that's past tense, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's what you are. That's where you are. That's who you are, church. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, guys, it's not even from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Listen to verse 10 now. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Just relax. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the service. God's got this prepared for you. Your job, all you have to do when God calls, say, here am I. Send me. It's a glorious gift. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can actually take joy in service. We thank you that you have marked out for us the good, the bad, the highs, the lows, and we get this opportunity to present ourselves in the field as harvesters. Father, help us to have faith, to have joy in our work, to know that some things are going to succeed and some things are going to fail, and that's okay so long as we are following Jesus through this journey. We want to work with him. We want to be on that team. And we want, Father, in some way to build this corner of your kingdom, that when we're done, it's going to be a little more beautiful. a little brighter because we got to work in that vineyard. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Please stand and sing.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. As you wait for the crown, tell the world of the treasure you found. Jesus is calling.
Well, I know this series has been long, each individual message. I appreciate your patience, but that's just kind of the nature of this. We got a couple more, and then we'll wrap this up. I do hope, though, that through this series, no matter where you are, you've been challenged. Challenged to believe in Christ, challenged to, to follow, to come and see, to work in the vineyard. Next week, we get challenged to actually reproduce who we are. And some of you have done this. Some of you have done this intentionally. Some of you have done this without even knowing it. But others, I think we can be challenged with this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for the glory that we get to share with Jesus Christ because of our faith in his death. Not because of our death, because of his death. The glory we get to share. We thank you, Father, that we have opportunity to serve and to work in this vineyard, that we don't have to just exist, that we can build something lasting, eternal, while we're here. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.